The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you know me, then you will also know my Father. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to Jesus, "Master, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you for so long a time, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own. The Father who dwells in me is doing his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe because of the works themselves. Amen, amen, I say to you. Whoever believes in me will do the works I do, and will do greater ones than these, because I am going to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything of me in my name, I will do it." The Gospel of the Lord. John Lennon once famously said that all you need is love. And everybody believed him, because it sounded so good. It just had to be true. All you need is love. But the trouble is, it isn't true. Love is not all you need. And if you want to understand why, you have to begin by asking this really basic question that almost nobody ever asks. And the question is, what is love? Most people never ask that question. Or they say they don't want to answer that question, or they don't know the answer to that question. But hey, if love is all you need, don't you think you should at least know what it is? If pressed and forced to answer, people will say, it's a feeling, it's an emotion, but you know it's more than that. I'll jump right to the conclusion. Love is not a feeling. Love is not an emotion. Love is a choice. It is a free decision to do what's best for somebody else, whether anybody likes it or not. That's what love is. And of course, that leads to a follow-up question. What is best for somebody else? And more importantly, who says? It's a really important question. Every scallywag in history told themselves they were doing what was best for somebody else. Every criminal in history, past and present, is convinced that they're a great person doing what's best for somebody else. Nobody ever twirls their mustache and says they're going to go do evil. Right? Nobody. So who does say what's best for somebody else? Really important question, and I'll jump right to the conclusion for that. The answer is, God says, which means that love is not all you need. You also need truth. And before you can have truth, you have to have faith, which does not make a hit song, right? You can't dance to that. But dagnabbit, it's true. Now, here's an additional difficulty. If that all sounds good to you, if that sounds like it's just and right, and what you very soon discover is that if you stand for what's truly good, regardless whether anybody likes it or not, very often you find yourself standing alone against the crowd. And you look out against the whole crowd and you say, yep, all of you are all wrong, which is very, very difficult to do. If you've ever felt like that, and you feel like that even right now, I just want to tell you, today's saint, Saint Athanasius, is the saint for you. Saint Athanasius was a bishop in the 4th century. In Alexandria, in Egypt, what they today call Cairo. And Athanasius spent his entire life defending the divinity of Christ. Which doesn't seem like all that hot button an issue today, but let me tell you, back in Athanasius' time, empires rose and fell. kings rose and fell based on the answer to that question. Which, you know, which leads to an aside. I just got to interject this. In our modern day, we pride ourselves in saying that it doesn't matter what you believe. And we look down our long noses at past generations, especially times like the Middle Ages, times in which heresy was a crime. You know, and you could be punished for not believing the right religion. And with no shortage of chronological snobbery, we look back on those ages and we say, well, at least we're not like that anymore. At least we've progressed from that. And are you aware that we have not? That we are exactly like that. We've just changed what we believe in. You know quite well that there's an unwritten creed out there, a narrative. And if you deviate from it, you're going to be punished. You might get passed over for promotion. You might lose your friends. You might get fired from your job. Heck, you might even end up finding yourself in prison. But you know, there's an unwritten state religion out there that you are punished for severely if you do not abide by. I think it was G.K. Chesterton. He once said, man is and always will be a religious creature. There's no such thing as a man without a religion. There's only people with good religions or bad ones. Okay? So in Athanasius' time, you know, empires rose and fell based on this idea of whether Christ was divine or not. And along came this intellectual priest, his name was Arius, and he was wildly popular. And he denied the divinity of Christ. He said Jesus was not God, he was lower than God, but you know, he was greater than all men, and he was wildly popular, and 90% of the bishops in the church denied the divinity of Christ and went along with Arius. For a couple hours of our church history, it's important to remember that. See our current church history in the perspective of the rest of our church history, and you'll realize, you know, the bishops, just like anybody else, can cave into the pressure to want to give in to the religion of society. And a lot of them did, just like a lot of them do, but not Athanasius. He proclaimed the truth against the whole crowd, even if it cost him, and it cost him. He was never martyred, but he could have been. He was exiled from his home 6 times by 4 different emperors. Across 17 years, that he never stopped proclaiming the truth. And of course, in the end, the truth won out. But dagnabbit, it took its sweet time, didn't it? It took its sweet time, as it always does, which means you have to hang fast, which means you have to persevere. It can be very, very intimidating to stand against a crowd. You know, but if you believe in love, and if you believe in truth, and if you have faith in God, you know, you've got no choice but to realize that although no other person out there is your enemy, a lie is the enemy of everybody. And you have to stand fast. And, you know, the operative question becomes, how do you do it? Do you know the answer is very simple? You have to have a deep spirituality so that you can always keep your eyes on Christ. That's how you do it. If you keep your eyes on yourself, you will become insufferably arrogant. The trick is not to look out at the crowd and say, all of you are wrong and I'm right. The trick is to look out at the crowd and say, Christ is truth and I'm with him and you should be too, even if none of you are. Keep your eyes on the crowd and you'll be intimidated. But keep your eyes on the Lord, and you'll persevere. It's like we say in the Psalms. My eyes are always on the Lord. Look to him, that you might be radiant with joy. And let's ask for the prayers of the saints to help us to do that today. St. Athanasius, pray for us.